Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. Now in Proverbs chapter 15, 28, we're going to study about the right answer. The right answer. Let's read it. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. That's all there is to the verse. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. All right, what are we reading about here? What are we studying? Well, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is righteous. And we know that he never sinned when he was here in the earth. And Jesus Christ always had the right answer. They wondered how Jesus Christ knew to answer the things that he did, because he'd never studied in their, what we'd call seminaries. I mean, that's what they were, but he never had studied. You know, they said, how know what this man, having never studied, and he did study. That's what they didn't know. But he studied from the Lord. He studied from God, not from men who were messing with the scriptures and things like that. So he always had the right answer, and he was a righteous man. He knew the scriptures, and he knew what they were asking him when they polled him with questions. I mean, he was having discussions with them when he was 12 years old. But when he was older and getting ready to go to the cross, they were asking him questions. Remember, they came up to him and they said, all right, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar or no? And he said, bring me a penny. They're trying to catch him. And he knew what they were trying to do. And he knew that he could answer the question truthfully, and they would, because of their knowledge of the scripture, twist the thing and catch him. And so he answered the question truthfully, but he answered with knowledge. He knew what they were asking. He said, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar or no? And with the scriptures, Jesus probably could have made a case that it wasn't lawful to do that because this was their land and this was a foreign occupancy. And according to the Bible, they weren't supposed to be paying tribute out to somebody like that. But in this case, Jesus Christ said, bring me a penny. So they brought him a penny and he said, whose superscription is on there and whose image is on there? They said, Caesar's. He said, all right then, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and unto God the things that are God's. Well, there you go. That answered the question, and they had nothing to say in response. They had no way they could use it against him. They asked him about the resurrection. That was funny that Sadducees were asking him, because Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. But they wanted to know whose wife the woman would be if she had married seven brothers and had died childless, obeying the law of Moses, where each successive brother marries her in order to raise up seed to the first brother. Well, he answered them. He said, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God, because in heaven they don't marry. They're like the angels of God in heaven. And he said, besides that, you don't believe in the resurrection. And he said, I'll tell you something. When the angel appeared to Moses in the bush, he said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is the God of the living, not of the dead. And that shut them up. And then a lawyer came, recognizing Jesus Christ had it down, and ask him, what's the great commandment in the Bible? And he said, well, the greatest commandment in the Bible is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like thereunto, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the lawyer said, well, okay. Man, I mean, he had it nailed, see? But Jesus had studied to answer. And that's what a righteous man will do. A righteous man will be careful not to answer a thing that he doesn't know, because he knows that if he does, somebody may take seriously the thing that he had said, when in fact what he was saying was wrong. So a righteous man makes sure that he knows the answer to the question before he answers, or he'll just tell you, I don't know. He'll study to answer, and if he doesn't know, he'll go find out the answer, and then he'll tell you what the answer is. Now, after the Lord had been subjected to that, he had asked the scribes some questions that they couldn't answer. One question he asked them really upset him. He said, because, you know, he just cleaned out the temple, and they were questioning his authority to run those men out of there, the money changers and all everything they brought into the temple. They were questioning his authority to do that. And they said, by what authority doest thou these things? And he said, you know what, I'll tell you the answer to that question, but I'm going to ask you a question first. And if you answer it, I'll tell you. And if you don't answer it, I won't tell you. They said, okay, shoot. He said, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it of men? Well, they were hung. You see, Jesus Christ knew the answer so well, he knew what question to ask them to trip them up, because there was no way they could answer that question. And indeed, they didn't answer the question. They said, we cannot tell. And the reason they didn't answer it is that if they had said, we believe it's of men, there were a whole lot of other people around there that were listening. And if they'd have said, we believe it's of men, they were afraid of getting stoned, man, because people took John for a prophet. And if we say it's from heaven, then he's going to ask us, why didn't you get baptized if it's from heaven? So they just said, we can't tell. Boy, he had them. After they polled him with these three questions about Caesar's penny and the resurrection and the law, he asked him, he said, let me ask you a question. Who is the Messiah? They said, he's David's son. He said, all right, then how does David call him his son Lord? You see, there in the Psalms, and they didn't know what to say about that. If he's his son, why does he call him Lord? They didn't know what to say. Well, the answer is, then he would have to be from God, even though he was also from him, son of man, son of God. That's the answer. They couldn't do it. They couldn't handle it. They were wicked. And our proverb goes on to say, the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. And they did pour out evil things. When they did answer, when they did speak, they never did speak the truth. They never did study. You know, they could have gone back and said, you know, that's a good question about John's baptism. We'll go check that thing out and see if we can find anything in Scripture that lets us know whether it was from man or from God. When he asked them about why did David call his own son Lord, you know, said, that's a good question. We'll go study it out and we'll give you an answer. But they didn't. They just let themselves be put on the spot and they choked up. They were wicked and they poured out evil things. They'd say things like, we cannot tell, or they just wouldn't answer. Or they'd say even worse things like, he hath a devil. Jesus is casting out devils in Mark chapter 3, and they said, he cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. That's how he does that. That was a lie. That was a lie. The mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. That was an out-and-out lie. Or they'll say, he blasphemeth. They ask him whether he was the son of God. He said, I am. That's what you said, I am. And the chief priest ripped his garment there, and he said, what need have we of further witnesses? You've heard him. This blasphemy. What say? He said, well, he needs to die. That's evil, man. The mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Jesus was talking to him in John chapter 8 and going through telling him about he was doing the things that his father wanted him to do and that they were doing the things that their father wanted him to do. And they said, we don't have any other father but God. Abraham is our father. He said, if Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham. But since you're not of Abraham, you'd do the works, you know, of the devil. And they said, well, we be not born of fornication. Boy, that's wicked. Jesus Christ is the virgin-born son of God. And they said, we be not born of fornication. And they called the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost fornication. I know what they were doing. They were implying that Joseph and Mary had spent time together before Jesus was born. Wicked, man, wicked. The mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Now listen, you're a Christian, and you know, you wear the bracelet, or you wear the little card, or you wear the little thing around your neck is WWJD, or maybe you have it on a bumper sticker on your car. They've lost their popularity. They were kind of a fad there, but maybe you've had that in the past. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Jesus would answer. He would study, and he would know the answer so that when he was asked, he'd know how to answer the man that asked him. Do you study? That's the question. I know you listen to the radio because you're hearing the broadcast right now. And I know you listen to other broadcasts and you hear guys talk about prophecy and all that. They're doing some studying. Some of them get it right. Some of them get it wrong. But do you study? I don't mean do you let other men study for you. Do you study? When we were training for the ministry, the fellow that trained us in the ministry used to ask us questions like this. Give me five verses for and whatever it was. Like, for instance, on money, if men were concerned about their finances getting into the ministry, he'd say, well, give me five verses on finances. And he expected you to know those things by memory and be able to quote those things. Things like wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, and riches profit not in the day of wrath. And lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, he wanted you to know those things, like the love of money is the root of all evil, and to be able to quote those things when you were asked. Give me five verses, he'd say, and whatever it was that you were thinking about. You know, the Bible literally speaks about and to every kind of thing. Like, for instance, recently I had the opportunity to see a Time magazine. I'll make a mention of something that I saw in there. And there was an article concerning the age of the universe and the existence of galaxies not heretofore seen by man through a telescope. And some guy was trying to make a discovery. And in there, there was some testimony as to how old the earth is and how old the universe is. And he used to ask us, give me five verses for, you see, this stuff concerning science. And boy, you'd have to nail it. You'd have to be able to do it. Things like beware of science falsely so-called. A lot of that stuff is false science. And the Lord gave you warning in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, not to get sucked into that without checking the thing out, you see. So my question to you is, do you study? Do you study? It's oftentimes people will call and say, what do you think I ought to do about such and such? And, you know, one answer is, well, what does the Bible say about it? What does the Bible say about that? You know, a man will come in and say, I'm interested in marrying so-and-so. What do you think about that? Well, what does the Bible say? That's the first thing. And you ought to be able to look to the Bible and see if it gives you any guide and direction about the kind of woman that you ought to marry or the kind of man that you ought to marry, how you ought to raise your children, what you ought to do with your personal finances. These are all the kinds of things that cause problems in marriages, and the Bible has a lot to say about those things. Do you ever study the Bible to see what it has to say about how you ought to raise your children, how you ought to conduct your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you ever study the Bible to find out about those things, and do you follow what you study? A righteous man will. He'll study to answer those things, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. In other words, he won't be able to tell you what the Bible has to say about it, but he'll be able to tell you what, you know, a man has to say about personal finance, or a doctor has to say about raising children, or something like that. You got to get over that. If you are righteous, you will study these things out so that you can answer the question. Recently, I had the opportunity to attend a pastor's conference, and it was very helpful. And I don't know if you knew this, but pastors have the opportunity, men in the ministry have the opportunity to opt out of Social Security deductions because of moral convictions or religious convictions about whether or not they want to receive money from the government in their retirement age. And a lot of men have personal conviction about that. Now, the attorney that was giving a particular presentation during the convention said, have you opted out? And several of the men raised their hand about opting out of the FICA deductions and future receipts from the government on Social Security. And then he said, okay, I want to ask you a question. Do you have a verse for that, for your religious conviction? Because the law states that you have to have that as a conviction of religion and not just a matter of, you know, trying to keep more money for yourself without paying the FICA, you know, in your younger years. Do you have a verse on that? And it was funny, man, I'm telling you, the room was just as quiet as a church mouse. See, you gotta have a conviction about those things that's based upon a doctrinal belief that comes from the Bible. Years ago, a fellow was out witnessing, and he came across some Jehovah's Witnesses, and they were well-versed in their doctrine, and he wasn't. And they began to have a discussion, and I'm telling you, he got kind of tripped up in some of the things that they were talking to him about. Not tripped up in that he believed what they were saying, but tripped up in that he didn't know how to answer their question. And he went back and he began to study, and he said this, after that, I began to study so that I would never get tripped up again. And he didn't. He became a great apologist whenever it became, you know, evident that he was going to have to discuss with somebody their belief about a Bible translation or a doctrine or a cult or a religion or whatever it might be. On Thursday nights at church, I train some men, and we try to help them out with things concerning the ministry, preaching, teaching, soul winning, you know, things like that. Recently, we've been dealing with some soul winning, and we've also had the opportunity to talk about how to deal with folks that are hesitant to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior because maybe they don't believe, or they profess that they don't believe, or maybe they're just religious, or maybe they're just lacking concern. And there are verses in the Bible that, you know, a man can use to help somebody that's in one of those cases recognize his need to get off a high center and think seriously about what Jesus Christ has done for him. So we've been studying that. Various ways to respond when people hesitate to receive Jesus Christ. That's a good lesson. And if they're studying those notes and if they're dealing with that material, when they encounter somebody that's hesitant to receive Jesus Christ because of some practical reason, they've got verses of Scripture they can show them to help the guy get off a high center and get saved. Now, this Bible here says a righteous man will study to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. You want to find out how it goes? Well, just ask a man if he's saved. Just walk up to him and say, are you saved? And listen to the answers you get. Are you saved? Well, if he's a righteous man, he will have studied this thing out and he will know how to answer you. Are you saved? Ask him. And if he knows his Bible, he'll take you right to 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, and he'll tell you, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself, that he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. Well, there you go. That you may know that you have eternal life. You say, are you saved? He said, yeah, I'm saved. How do you know? Because the Bible says so in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. It says in verse 12, if I've got the Son, I've got life, I've got him. And when I believe on him, the Bible says, I know that I have eternal life. Yes, I am saved. Well, a righteous man will study that thing out and know how to answer your question. A wicked man will say something else. He'll say something, he'll hedge. He'll hedge, he'll speak an evil thing. He'll say this, no man can know for sure. Why are you asking me if I'm saved? Nobody can know for sure. I've had him tell me that numerous times. You know what he's saying? He's saying, God, you're a liar. That's what 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 says. It says, that fellow is saying to God, you are a liar. It says, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. That's an evil thing. That's a wicked man. No man can know for sure. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. A wicked man will say, I don't know, when he ought to know. You see, when he says, I don't know, he's hedging. You say, in what respect? I mean, maybe he really doesn't know. No, he knows. He knows that if he's not saved, he's lost. And the answer is not, I don't know. The answer is, no, I am not saved. That's what an honest man would say. If he had studied the thing out, he'd say, if I haven't received Jesus Christ as my Savior yet, then I'm lost. And if I'm lost, then I'm not saved. So the honest answer, the right answer, is no. But he says, I don't know. Well, then that's an evil answer. That's a hedge. That is, I've got a chance. The Bible says he doesn't have a chance at all. He has no hope. He's without God in the world. Or he'll even get worse than that, and he'll accuse the Bible of error or profess to be an agnostic, which is really strange, because when a guy does that, you can just almost count on the fact that he has not read the Bible cover to cover. Oh, I'd say two or three times just to be sure. I mean, if a guy was going to study a thing out, you would think that he would at least go in and do more than just a cursory glance. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he began to accuse the Bible of error, and he professed to be an agnostic, and he had only read 10 chapters of the Bible and made up his mind after just reading 10 chapters of the Bible. That's strange. I told another fellow one time, I said, you ought to look in the book. That's where the answers are. And I showed him my Bible, which had been poured over pretty regularly, so that the pages were torn and ripped and shredded, and not from careless handling, it's just from often handling. And I said, you know, if you're trying to make up your mind about these matters, read, study, look. Don't just give some dishonest answer or some wicked answer or some evil answer, like, I don't believe there's a God, or I don't know him. You can ask a guy, are you saved? You say, well, I go to the Baptist church. Well, you didn't ask him that. Well, he's not answering your question. Why? He hadn't studied. He doesn't know the answer. Take this, for instance. Take and listen to a man and look at how he talks about hell. If he jokes about it, he doesn't believe it's real. And he reveals an evil answer. The mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Hell is a real place. We studied that recently when we were studying here through Proverbs. We had a long lesson just exclusively on hell. If he's joking about it, he doesn't believe that it's so. But let me tell you this, if he has been giving an answer to a lost guy to try to get him out of hell before he goes there, then that guy studied the answer. He's a righteous man, trying to save a man, trying to save a sinner from hell, not just laughing about the place. You see, the way it is with evil, you say, why do you keep calling them evil and wicked? Because that's what the Bible calls them. I say, yeah, but he's a good guy. He may be a good guy. He may be a really nice fella. He may be very sincere. He might even send flowers to his mother on Mother's Day and send you flowers when you're in the hospital. And he may be very generous with his money. And he may give a little bit to the poor from time to time. But I'm going to tell you something. If he doesn't study to answer these questions and he doesn't trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, the Bible says he's a wicked man and he's evil. The motive for him doing the good things that he does is to ease his conscience about the direction he's going. That's the way men are. And so I realize those are rude and strong, forceful words, evil and wicked. But God used them, and we're simply repeating them. The evil just answer when they're posed a question. For instance, we read in the New Testament about men that were invited to a wedding. And it's a parable. They're invited to a wedding for the son of a king. And they say, you know what? Have me excused. That's the way the evil answer. They come up with excuses. They'll spend as much time coming up with an excuse of why they didn't do what they were supposed to do than they will to just go out and do the thing that they were supposed to do. That's what young kids do. I pray thee have me excused. I've just married a wife. I need to stay home. That's a henpecked man. I just bought a yoke of oxen. I need to go try them. That's a man that's wanting you to believe that he actually paid the price to buy those oxen without even checking them out first. I mean, you'll even test drive a vehicle these days. Excuses. Or he'll lie. That's the way the evil are. They'll just lie. Take, for instance, what Cain did when he was asked about Abel. The Lord said, where is Abel thy brother? And you know what he said? I know not. It's a lie. And then he said, am I my brother's keeper? Putting it back on the Lord like that. He lied. I don't know. He knew exactly where he was. He'd killed him and stuffed him under a bush. That's the way the evil answer. Or they'll answer with self-justification, like you say, are you saved? And they say, well, I give to the poor, and I, you know, attend church regularly, and I have treated my neighbor right, and I don't cuss, and I don't steal, and I've never killed anybody, and I don't commit adultery, and things like that. That guy just ripping off the mouth, going down the list. And the Bible said that when Jesus Christ talked to the Pharisees about matters like that, he said, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Self-justification. Listen, if you want to be justified with God, you are justified by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God, by what Jesus Christ has already done for you, not by your good works. And when a man throws those good works up in God's face and said, you got to accept those rather than accept the righteousness of your Son and the death in my place, whoo, I'm telling you, man, that's evil. That's evil. The mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. That's evil. Sometimes a man, when he answers, will not have studied at all. And what he'll do is just regurgitate what he's been taught in school or read in a magazine or seen on TV or read in a newspaper. That's what Jesus called blind leaders of the blind. I told you I had an opportunity to see Time magazine the other day, and in there the scientists were talking about the age of the universe, and they said it's 7 billion years old. 13.7 billion years old. And then in a cooling down period of, 200 million years more or less. You know, they talk like that, like it's just like they've actually counted it. Like a teller sitting down at a window counting the dollar bills in a strap of 50. That's the way they talk about this stuff. They don't have a clue whether the Earth or the universe is 13.7 billion years old. If they're right when they say that, then they know something. They know that the gravitational pull of the universe would cause the cosmic dust to gather on the moon in such a rate that in 13.7 billion years old, it would be so thick that a lunar landing module would sink in it. And that's why the feet of the lunar landing module were so big and the boots on the astronaut suits were so big so that they wouldn't sink down in there. And I was told the other day by a fellow, they even left the engines running in case the thing sunk down too much, they could blow off and get out of there. Well, it turns out when he stepped out of the module and stepped on the ground, he said, it's solid. Of course, you didn't hear that. indicating that there wasn't enough dust on there to amount to anything. It was only 3/4 of an inch thick. And at the rate that it gathers on the surface of the moon, that would indicate that the universe was only about 10,000 years old at the most, or at least the moon in the universe, only 10,000 years old at the most, which defies all of their arguments, and they will not abide by the science. There's a man that set foot on it. He can tell you how deep it is, and you know the gravitational pull and the gathering of the cosmic dust. You know the answer, and yet they continue to say that it's 13.7 billion years old, like they asked somebody and got the truth. It's just a matter of fact. That's a conjecture. You know what that is? That is the wicked pouring out evil things to get you to quit believing that God created this place in 6 days. That's why they do it. Or they'll just profess their own goodness. You know, the Bible says most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness and, you know, steer you away from the fact that they're a sinner in the need of a Savior. And why does all this stuff happen? It's because they're evil men, and evil things come out of the heart of evil men. Jesus Christ talked to the Pharisees about that in Matthew chapter 12, and he said in verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Now, if he's righteous and he's studied, he can tell you, give it to you right out of the Bible. But then he goes on to say, an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Are you willing to stand on your words? If I were you, I would get in the Bible, I would study it out, I would learn the answers, live by the answers, and that way when you have to give an account, you give an account of the right thing. That's what a righteous man would do. The righteous answer with right answers. Now, all of that to say this, are you saved? You say yes. How do you know? 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Good, I'm glad you're saved. Then you know what your instructions are? They are found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Mark it, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You want to give the right answers? Then you're going to have to do what Paul told Timothy. You are going to have to study your Bible. And we pray that you will, so that when you are asked, like Jesus Christ, you'll give the right answer.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.